Okay, today's daf is daf Chav Ches. We are on Chav Zayin Mabeis. We just started to discuss the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim back in the Mishnah on daf Chav Aleph and Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda says that one has to burn the chametz in order to fulfill tashbisu. Ein bir chametz el b'sreifa. Well, the Chachamim say no. You can scatter it in the air, in the wind, or you can throw it into the river. And the Gemara is discussing what is the makar for Rabbi Yehuda. So the first try was a kavach chomer from Nosar. Just like if no star, which is not, let's start from the two dots again. Tanya. Okay, just after we do the makar, remind me to tell you the reply. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Ein bir chametz el sreifa. So Rabbi Yehuda says you have to burn the chametz. Vaden no sin is a kal vachomer. Uma no sir sheinu bal yira bal yimatze. Ta'un sreifa. If no sir, which there is no iser to have no sir in your house, bal yira bal yimatze, or to see no sir, that requires burning chametz. Yesh no bal yira bal yimatze. Lo kol shekein ta'un sreifa. So chametz, which has bal yira bal yimatze, surely should require sreifa. Amr lo. So they answer back to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Din shata dun tchilas alahachmir sofa lahakel eno din any kavachomer which starts off being a chumra for the stringent context, which is exactly what you're trying to do in a kavachomer, but ends up having a kula in the chumra context. So then that's not a good kavachomer. So lo matz eitzim l'sarfo yoshev ubatel. So what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say? What's the kula that's going to end up if he has the chametz? And he can't burn it. So what he's going to do? He's going to do nothing. But Tomer Amr Tashbisu Sarmi Batechem. The Torah says you have to do the mitzvah of Tashbisu. B'chol davar shata yochal hashbis. With anything that you can do hashbasa. So we noted yesterday, what do you mean do nothing? What about bittel? So that was a riot that the Kobo brought, that you can't do bittel on chametz yadua, on chametz that you know about. You can't nullify. You can only nullify on chametz that you don't know about. But the Noda Behuda here in the Tzlach says that no, of course you can do bittel. But what does Bittel accomplish? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Bittel prevents you from violating Bal Yira Bal Yimatze, but it itself is not a kiyum of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, because Rabbi Yehuda says you have to do it b'sreifa. Mashiach, according to the Chachamim, says the Tzlach, even Bittel can be a kiyum of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So that's part of the Nekudas Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, is whether Bittel would be part of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. That's exactly how it reads the Gemara. The Torah says Tashbisu. You can't not do Bittel. Just one ha'ara that I saw last night related to something that we discussed Friday night. Friday night we discussed whether you're allowed to be Mekadish the Levana. If it's a winter month and it's the time is running out and it's the second to last night, so are you allowed to do it? So the Mishnah Berurah says, I'll pick Kabbalah. You're not supposed to be in Bekadish to Levana on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. But he says, if it's the last night, then Halacha overrules. Then the Nigla overrules and you do it. And if it's one night before the last night, so then there's a Machlokes between the Shvus Yaakov and Reb David Oppenheim. I think it was quoted in the Shari Tshuva. So that I didn't look up that Shvus Yaakov inside, but in that Shvus Yaakov, it's a long Tshuva. But in there, the Shvus Yaakov, in the context of writing that you should do it Friday night, because if you don't do it Friday night, you might miss it. He says that Monas Kasha Balal Shabbos, Hu Chumra Da'asi Li De Kula, L'Hako Me Alav Chova Mitzvah. So he says you're going to come out with a kula, you're going to be Machmir, you don't want to be Mekadosh Levana on Friday night, but Afi Kabbalah, but you're going to lose the mitzvah totally. Dugma Lazer, Mashakas of Psachim, Daf Chav Zayin Mabez, similar to what it says in Psachim, called in Shatta Dant Chilas Alahachmir, Vesof Alakal Enodin. You're going to be Machmir, you have to see what the other side is going to be. You're going to be Machmir tonight, be Mekadosh Levana, then you're going to lose the mitzvah totally. So that's why he says you have to be always balance out your chumras and your kulas. But he quotes our Gemara in terms of that, in terms of that issue, they should be Mekadosh Levana. Again, like the Aruch HaShulchan said, only say the bracha, don't see all the other parts of the Simanim Tov. So that's related to this line of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. So you're an ones. So again, it relates to the ones the keilu asa by ones or a kulin that you can't do the mitzvah. You don't have to do the mitzvah.
You have to do it. You can't do it.
Okay, so you could, right? But okay, you're right. You can't do it, but you can't do it. But that's the Gemara is still looking at that because you can't do it. You want to say that this is a raya that ones is keilu. You didn't do it. It's just that you have a patur, maybe. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Chazer Rabbi Yehuda v'danu d'nacher. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says no kal v'chomer. Let's learn a mamatzina, just a comparison. No, sir. Aser b'achila v'chametz aser b'achila. No, sir. Leftover meat that you have to burn is aser to eat. V'chametz aser b'achila, and chametz is also aser to eat. Ma no, sir. B'sreifa, chametz b'sreifa. So just like no, sir, is you have to burn, so to chametz. It's a comparison. So Amar lo, no, you can't compare no, sir, and chametz to say that they both have to be burned. Nevela tochiach. Nevela will disprove you. Sha'asura b'achila. Nevela. Meat that was not shechted properly or not shechted at all, that's aser b'achila. Ve'enotu nesreifa. So don't tell me that just because something is aser to eat, you have to burn it. So the Vela disproves that. So the Gemara says, okay, amalan hefrish nosar. Nosar is different. Aser b'achila u'bahana'a. Nosar is aser eating and you can't get benefit from it. V'chabez aser b'achila b'ana'a. Nosar and chabez are both aser in both. Ma noser to ansreifa, afchamis to ansreifa, and the vela can't be a problem because the vela is only aser b'achila. As we learned a couple days ago, that you can sell nevela. So that's the makar. Noser is the makar based on its comparison of achila and hana. So the Gemara says Amrlo, another disproof. Shor haniskal yochiach. No, a shor that killed somebody that you have to stone will prove. Shor aser b'achila u'bahana. A shor haniskal is aser b'achila and hana. Ve'inu to ansreifa. So again, you see that the fact that something is aser b'achila and hana does not mean that it has to be burned. So again, what's the makar for Rabbi Yehuda? Amalahan, hefrish noser. Again, no, noser is different. It could still be the makar. Aser b'achila b'hana v'anish kares. No, noser is different because it's aser b'achila and hana. And if you eat it, you get kares. V'chameis aser b'achila b'hana v'anish kares. And but this does not apply to the Shor HaNiskal. Shor HaNiskal, you don't get kares if you eat it. So, manos b'sreifa, v'chameis b'sreifa. So we use noser again as the makar. So the Gemara again rejects it. Amru lo, chelbol shel shor haniskal yochiach. The chelev, the fats of the shor haniskal will prove. Because fats, chelev always has an iser karis. Any chelev, not just the shor haniskal. But any chelev has an iser karis if you eat it. Non-kosher fats. So the chelev of the shor haniskal is aser b'achila, u'bahana, v'anish karis. It has all three, ve'ena ton sreifa. So again, we disprove the makar from Nosar. So what's the makar for Rabbi Yehuda that he holds ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa? So, the top of the Gemara, Chazer Rabbi Yehuda, Vadana den Acher. Okay, a different way to compare it. Nosar yeshno babalto siru. The chametz babalto siru. Nosar has a violation of leaving it over, and chametz has a violation of leaving it. It's a little different. Nosar is leaving it after the Zman. Bali Rabbi Yimatze is during the Zman of Pesach. But you can also look at it, it's after the Zman when you're supposed to get rid of your chametz. So that's the comparison. Nosar has an idea relevant to it about leaving over. Chametz has an idea relevant leaving over. So the comparison is Manosar Misreva, Chametz Misreva. So that's how you know anything that has an aspect of leaving over has to be burnt. So Amr Lo, so they ask the Kashan of Yudah again. That can't be a good makar. Ashem Talui, V'chatas Ha'of Habar Al Safek, L'dvarecha Yochichu. These two karbanos, according to your words, will prove you wrong. Let's just take a step back. What are these two karbanas? Ashem talui is brought whenever you're chayav a karban chatas. If you did an aveira b'mezid, for sure, if you're not sure if you did that aveira, you're chayav to bring an ashem talui. You have two pieces of meat in front of you. One of them is kosher, one of them is not kosher. You ate one of the pieces of meat. You're not sure which one was kosher, which one was not kosher, or you're not sure which one you ate. But either way, you know you did not. You know that you could have done the aveira. The aveira exists here. It's what's called ikva isura. There is a treif piece of meat here. You don't know if you ate it or not, or you're not sure if you are any aveira that's chayiv you a chatas. If you did it for sure, is chayiv you an ashem talui. If you did it b'safek. The Gemara in Krisa says why an ashem talui. The Gemara says if you find out eventually that you did it for sure, you have to bring a karban chatas. The ashem talui isn't enough. The Gemara increases. Daf Chavtala says an Ashem Talui covers you from Yisurin until you know for sure. That's exactly what the purpose of the Ashem Talui is. It doesn't bring you Kapara for the Aveira because you have to bring a Chatas if you end up knowing for sure. But Ashem Talui covers you. It's Mechapara and Yisurin until you know, until you find out for sure whether you did it or not. That's an Ashem. It's literally a hanging Ashem. That's an Ashem Talui in general. A Chatas Ofa Bal Safek. What's that? That's a carbon Chatas. But for a woman, let's say, that had a miscarriage, and she doesn't know if the baby was formed already or not to be considered a baby or not. So she's not sure if she's chayiv, the karbanos of yoledes. So a karban chatas ha'of, she's chayiv karban chatas ha'of usually if she's a yoledes. So a chatas ha'of is the only karban chatas that could be brought al safik. Usually if I'm not sure if I'm a chayiv a chatas or not, I can't bring a chatas. Chatas has to be definite. An ashem talui can be brought al safik. A chatas ha'of, though, the Torah declares, if a woman is not sure, she can bring a chatas oaf that comes al safik. So there's a machlokes by these two karbanos, and let's read the Gemara according to Rashi now for a minute. An Asham Talui, a regular Asham Talui, is burned on the Mizbeah, and it's really the carbon. The Kohanim could eat the kidney part of the animal, it's Kashi Kachim. The Kohanim could eat the meat that that is not burned. So the so Asham Talui is usually, it's not buried, it's not burned off of the Mizbeah, it's regular carbon. So Rashi, he says, we're here, we're talking about an Asham Talui that became Noser. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Other Rishonim have difficulty. But let's read the Gemara according to Rashi. A chatas ha'of, regular chatas ha'of, and an asham talui that became nosar, both of these karbanos cannot be eaten. Chatas ha'of al-baal safi cannot be eaten because it might be foolish. You might not be chayav this carbon in the first place. An asham talui, this is exactly what the Torah says to do in this situation. If you're not sure, well, you're chayav. So a regular asham talui is burned on the Mizbeach, but an asham talui that became nosar obviously is not burned. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim by these two karbanos, by an asham talui that became nosar, or a regular chatas ofa bal safek, by those two karbanos, what do you do with them? The Chachamim say, you burn them. In both these cases, the reasons are discussed in Maseches Temura, why the reasons are for the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yehuda, in both of these cases, say you bury the carbon, you don't burn them. So says the, now with that background, now we get back to the conversation going on here. Rabbi Yehuda just proved his opinion by Chameis to say, just like Nosar, regular Nosar, has a Baltosiru aspect to it, has an issue of leaving it over, and it's burned, so too Chameis has a Baltosiru aspect and it's burned. So they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, you yourself, your Shita is by an Asham Talui that became Nosar. That's how Rashi says, the Iker is the Asham Talui line. An Asham Talui that became Nosar, you say has to be buried, not burned. So you see that just because something is in the parsha of Baal Tosiru, leaving over, it's not burned. That's the question. So let's read it again. Umbrelo, Ashab Tali Bechadis Ova Baal Safik, these two Karbanos, Lidvarecha. According to your Shita, Yochicho, you'll prove you wrong. According to us, it's okay, because we say it's Reifa. But according to you, it's wrong. Sheheba Baal Tosiru, because they are in the parsha of leaving over. Sha'anu Omrin Bisreifa, we say Bisreifa. So according to our Shita, it would work out. But Va'ata Omer Bekvura. But you say that it has to be buried. So that's the kasha that answered Yehuda. So you can't prove that just because something is in the parsha of Baal Tosiru, it has to be burnt. The Rishonim have difficulty with this pirush of Rashi. Because according to Rashi, any karban nosar, any psulei mukdashim have to be burned. And only an asham tali that became nosar is buried. That's the only karban in the world. So they say, Tosfos here quotes Xeris HaKasav, Tosfos Yumasal Ve'ata. Xeris HaKasav excluding asham tali that became nosar. Again, but there are other pshatim. Rashi and Tumur gives a different pshat of the Asham Talui that became possible before you are resorting to Dam. But either way, that is Shita's Rashi, but we should just know that it has a difficulty. This carbon, for some reason, according to this pshat of Rashi, is different than any other carbon that became possible. Every other carbon that became possible has to be burned. Even Nosar has to be burned. All of a sudden, Asham Talui that became Nosar, that has to be buried according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, whatever the Svara is, that is how Rashi reads the Gemara. So says the Gemara said back to Rabbi Yehuda, so you're stuck again. So Shasa Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda did not have an answer. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, his makar is upschlugged, and then he doesn't have an answer. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Haidu to Amri Inshi, this idea that what just happened to Rabbi Yehuda, he got rejected because of his own opinion. Right, according to the other opinions, it would have been fine. But he got rejected for his own opinion, so there are parables that people relate to this kind of idea. That people get rejected because of their own ideas. To Amri Inshi, this is what people say, Kappa, the Chata Nagara, the spoon that the carpenter carved, Begava Nisraf Chardala, in it, his tongue will be burned with mustard. Meaning in the own spoon, that he made his own spoons, he's going to burn himself on the mustard in his own spoon. Abaya Amar, a second mashal, Sadna, Besadna Yasiv, a sadhana, it's one of those things that you have a criminal puts his arms and legs in it and he's locked up. What are those things called? What? The stocks. Yeah, so it's like the stocks that the carpenter built himself, mitvil yadei mishtalim, and he's sitting, he puts his hands in them, and he's going to be caught by his own, the product of his own actions, right? Similar to Haman. Haman built the tree, and he's hanged on the tree that he built for Mordechai. Right, in Yonad Yoma, we're Shloshim Yom Lefnei Purim now, we can have that connection. Rava Amar, Gira Begirei Miktal, Mitvil Yadei Mishtalim. The arrow maker is killed by his own arrows, so again, Mitvil Yadei, from the work of his own hands, he's being paid back. Two Ha'aras. One, the Rush here points out that there's a major machlokas Rishonim, whether we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. Right, major machlokas. Rashi says we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos on the bottom of the previous amud says nira the halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos ain. A lot of Rishonim on this side. A lot of Rishonim on the other side. So the Rush just has the ha'ara, the afal gav the shasak Rabbi Yehuda. you would think that like, this is a tiyufta, Rav Yehuda didn't have an answer. So he says, even though he was shoseik, anan lo shaskinan. Even though he was shoseik, we're not shoseik, meaning we could still paskin like him. Delo itosav elami divrei atzmo. The Rush assumes that an inner steer within a shita is less problematic. Maybe he had an answer. If you have a brisa or a mishnah against him, tiyufta, okay, then he's rejected. But the brisa says, delo itosav elami divrei atzmo. He says as a kasha from within his own opinion, so maybe he has an answer. But it's not such a difficulty, and therefore you can have the machlokas we showed him. And we paskin, as we've mentioned, we paskin that lechadchila we try to burn it. We try to be machmer like a Yehuda lechadchila. In Tuf Mem Hey, we mentioned this before. Kesad biyar chametz sarfo o foru v'zor l'ruachov zor kalayam v'maya chametz. That's you can do it. Make her a din like the chachamim. But the Ramah says v'aminig l'sarfo v'tov l'sarfo bayom dumya denosar shahay sofer o nisra bayom. That's the whole mucker, the connection to nosar, which eventually was rejected. But that's what we do to try to burn it. Also, if you burn it, you'll remember to be mevatel it. Mr. Burr quotes that reason. Okay, that is one. A second point is, why does the Gemara bring three Mishalim? No, it didn't suffice with the first one. Just say the first one, that the carpenter burns his tongue on his own spoon. He has to have the second one about the stocks, and the third one about the arrows that kill the person. So says the Ben Yehoyada. Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai, says, what do you need all three for? Says the Ben Yehoyada. There are three types of kashas that we could ask on a source in the Gemara. Three types of asakas you could ask. He says, nearly b'siyata d'shmaya. Dehem is chachmu lahavi mishalom ha-shayachim l'shloshim mini asagos shahaya ha-chacham musag b'dvar v'beis ha-medrash. Three types of kashas that you can ask on somebody in the base of medrash. Number one, ha-echad, mizdami shachacham echad yomer eza davar halacha v'yasigo l'chachamim lister dvar halacha ha-hi mikoach ha-svar asher hu atzmo chidesh. That's one case. I say something, and they ask a kasha on me from another thing that I said, some other logic, some other svara that I said. So that's a kasha, but it's not so bad. Why? Because maybe one day another chacham will come and have another svara. That's just the opposite, and I'll be proven wrong with the other svara. So that's such a bad problem with me, because somebody else will come in and they'll find that the svara is not so bad. That's the first mashal. Chardol is mustard, but it's not impossible to eat. So you burn yourself a little bit. It's a little hot. It's a little spicy, but you can still eat it. You still eat it, so you burn yourself a little bit. So here now, you burn yourself, but somebody else will come and save me. You know, a lot of people like mustard. So that's one. That's the first mashal. He says, then you have another type of hasaga. He has a strong kasha on him from a svara that he himself said. And it totally wipes out what he says in the context being discussed. But still, the svara is not based on anything more than a svara. It's a strong svara which will never be uprooted. They proved it from 20 different places. Misvara and ulazos yish tikva sheyavo adam acher ohu atzmo v'yase iza chiluk besvara chadasha v'yatari zozakushi v'kayim osu dvar halacha. I didn't formulate it properly to contrast the first two types. The first one is that he says you have a svara, so you have a kasha. Not such an amazing kasha, not such a strong kasha. But somebody else might bring another one day. Think of another svara. That's the first one. It's very weak. The second one is that no, it's very strong. It's a very strong kasha. The only hope is for somebody one day to come from totally somewhere else and undo what you did. So that's the type of case where you're locked in the stock. Somebody can come unlock you one day. One day you hope. It's not impossible yet. But the third one is sometimes you could upshluck him and it's based on a pasuk. If somebody upshlugs you and it's based on a pasuk, based on a drasha, then forget it. You're done. I can argue with the pasuk. That's the third drasha. If somebody's killed with arrows, you know, there's no tchias amesim. Right? There's no, once it's over, it's over. So that's the ben yoyada, the three levels of kashas that you could ask. A low-level kasha, so one day you yourself maybe could think of another svara, or a big, very strong kasha. You can only hope from somewhere else, someone from the outside to come to unlock you. And number three, a kasha based on a pasuk, where there's no getting out of it, and that's the third makar related to the third mashal related to the arrows. Okay, so you got the psak and the ben yoyada. Yeah. Right.
Does it mean that they argue with each other what kind of kasha it is? That one it's a light kasha or a very strong kasha.
Interesting, because it's three different people, they argue what type, what level kasha this is. Maybe, I mean, the question is it based on psukim? Could that be asham ochadzov? Maybe they're arguing that, what kind of kasha it is, according to this drush of the Ben Yehoyada. Okay, continues the Gemara. The Reb Chaim. Let's continue a little bit. Let's do at least the Amud, and then I'll get back to the Reb Chaim. The Chachamim Omrim the Fire Vezora. So both Amudim talk about the Machlokas Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda. So it's allowed. So the Chachamim say the Mishnah had said on Daf Chaf Aleph Mefarer. The language was you scatter it Vezora La Ruach and you throw it to the wind Umatil Ayam or you toss it into the sea. So Ibaylu asked the Gemara Hechi Kamar Mefarer Vezora La Ruach Mefarer Matil Ayam is the first word Mefarer scattering. Is that talking about both following statements? It's talking about when you scatter it, you have to scatter it and then throw it to the wind, and even when you throw it to the sea, you also have to first scatter it and then throw it to the sea. Oh, Dilma, no. Maybe Mefarer was going on the first phrase. Mefarer is ala ruach. When you throw it to the wind, that's when you have to scatter it. Abomata la yamba ine. But you throw it into the water, you can just throw it in a hole. You don't have to scatter it. What's the issue? According to Rashi, the issue throughout this Gemara is whether you're worried people are going to find it and eat it. Gzeira shemi yochal. That is how Rashi reads the Gemara. So in the wind, of course, you have to scatter it. You throw it on the ground, somebody's going to pick it up. So you have to scatter it, make it less than a shear, and then it'll go into the wind. But into the water, maybe you don't have to. Because it's gonna go into the water. Nobody's going to get it here. So that's the suffix of the Gemara according to Rashi. Do you have to scatter it when you throw it into the wind? We throw it into the water. We have the similar suffix when it comes to destroying Avodah Zarah. Ki Hagavna, just like here. Rabbi Yossi has a statement. Shochek, Vizorah LaRuach HaMatalayam. Shochek means you have to pulverize it. You have to smash it. Rashi just points out, Mefarer is used, scattering is used by Chametz. And Shochek, the verb, is used by Avodah Zarah, because we're talking about metal. Because you have to pulverize. You have to smash it up. But it means the same thing. Shochik v'zor l'ruach hamatal ayam. That's Rabbi Yossi's statement by Avodah Zarah. V'boy lehu, and we have the same doubt there. Hechi kamar. What does Rabbi Yossi mean? Shochik v'zor l'ruach. When you throw it to the wind, you have to pulverize it. V'shochik hamatal ayam. And also when you throw it to the water. Odilma shochik v'zor l'ruach hamatal ayam ba'ine. But if you want to throw it into the water, you're going to do it by and you can throw it in as is. So the same exact question is asked by Avodah Zarah. So we have a machlokas between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. In opposite directions. Nobody says that the same thing applies by both Chametz and Avodah Zarah, but they're machalik in opposite directions. Amar Rabba, first opinion, Rabba says, Mistavra Avodah Zarah, Dil Yam HaMelach Ka'azla, Avodah Zarah, which you throw to the Yam HaMelach. Tosus here points out, you don't have to throw it to the Yam HaMelach, but there are many Makoros by Avodah Zarah that use the language of Yashlich Liyam HaMelach. So that's what. When Rabbi Yossi made his statement, Rab is assuming that that's what he was talking about. That case, when you were throwing it to the Yam HaMelech. So Avodah Zarah, which you throw to the Yam HaMelech, lo boi shechika, that you don't have to pulverize, you don't have to grind up. Why? Rashi goes to says, because there are no boats in the Yam HaMelech. That's not good for, you don't drive around the Yam HaMelech, you don't boat around the Yam HaMelech. So that's why you don't have to worry about it. So you can throw it in whole, nobody's going to be there. Chametz to Lasharnaros Kazal Bai Pirer. But chametz that you throw to other rivers, so Bai Pirer, that requires scattering because maybe somebody's going to find it. So that's Rabba's distinction. Avodah Zarah does not need, chametz does need, based on the place. As we'll see, based on a later Gemara, according to Rabba, it has nothing to do with chametz versus Avodah Zarah. It has to do with where you're throwing it. Which yam, that's the ikker of what Rabba holds. Amalei Rav Yosef is the opposite. Adarabba, Ifcha Mistava. The opposite makes sense to me. Avodah Zarah, Delo Mamisa. Avodah Zarah, which is metal, which could go into the water and stay there forever, and then maybe one day wash up onto the sea, onto the shore, boy shtika. That doesn't get disgusting when it's in water, so that needs to be ground up. Chametz, the mamis, you throw a piece of bread into the water, it's going to be disgusting. Nobody's ever going to eat that. So that, lo boy piru, that doesn't need to be scattered. So that's the opposite chilek. Avodah Zarah needs to be smashed, while chametz does not. So according to Rashi, the entire Gemara is based on chashash achila. There are a number of questions that they ask, that some of the achronim, the Sfas Emes, asks on the Rashi, and that is, people are going to eat it? They're not going to know it's chametz? They're going to look at it. You worry, Shema Yochal. If they find it, and it's not going to become disgusting, according to the first Shita, what's Rabbi talking about? So the Makar Chayim, the Nesivus is Pirish on Hilchas Pesach. So it's on Shulchan Aruch, but it's when Yilam Pesachim, it's a lot of Lundis. So in there, he says, Lofiza Yesh L'Yashiv. He says, maybe the Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Delokarashi. He says, maybe another Pshat. He says, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are really arguing about the Mitzvah of Tashbisu. Is the Mitzvah of Tashbisu to destroy it from the civilization or destroy it from the world? That's the machlokas between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. According to Rabbah, the focus is Yam HaMelech is better. Why? Because Tashbisu means get it out of civilization. That's all you got to do. Okay, it exists there. Okay, it doesn't matter. But as long as it's out of civilization, it's okay. Mashiach, according to Rabbi Yosef, it's not enough. No, you have to get it out of existence. So if it becomes disgusting in the water and it becomes absorbed, so that's out of existence. See, and he reads the Gemara like that, a little more fundamentally than Rashi. Rashi says it's all based on Shere Shem Yochal, and the Makar Chayim in Siman Tav Lamed Aleph says that no, it's based on what is the mitzvah, what's the nature of the mitzvah of Tashbis. It's similar to the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Similar to the machlokas, because the Chachamim might also say you have to get rid of it, but Mefar Bezol Aruach Matal Yam. But you're right. According to some interpretations of the Chachamim, it's a similar how he explains this machlokas, that is machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Gavazid Rabba, Tanya Gavazid Rabbi Yosef. There's a brisa to support each of these shitos. Tanya Gavazid Rabba, Hayimahalik by Midbar. Rabba, remember, Rabba is the one that said Avodah Zarah does not require pulverizing shchita, and chametz does require scattering. So this is a brisa about chametz, and it requires scattering. So you see, it's mefarer. So remember, mefarer, that verb Rashi said is talking about chametz, and it even uses that verb by matalayam. So you see, that is a riot to Rabbah. Tani kavasi Rabbi Yosef. There's a riot to Rabbi Yosef that Avodah Zarah needs it, but not chametz. Hayim halik by midbar, if somebody's walking in the desert, shochek vizore la ruach, he should pulverize it and throw it to the wind. So you see that Avodah Zarah needs it, right? So this is a raya to Rav Yosef. Shrika kashla Rabba, pira kashla Rav Yosef. Is there any way that each of these Amoraim could read the opposite brisa? Could read the opposite brisa that seemed to disprove them? So shrika Rabba lokasha. According to Rabba, who said normally you do not need shrika, he could read the one that says shrika too. Why? Holy Amalek, holy Shanaros. As we said before, really his difference is between chametz and avodah zarah. It depends where you throw it. So he would agree that if you throw chametz to non Yam HaMelech, you still have to pulverize it, because at least the way according to Rashi read it, somebody might find it. According to others, right, that you still have to get rid of it from the existence. Rav Yosef lo kasha, habachiti habanama. According to Rav Yosef, it's not a kasha. Again, Rav Yosef said before that avodah zarah does require it because it doesn't become disgusting in the water. Well, chametz does require it because it does not require it because it does not, it does become disgusting in the water. So how could he say, which case of chametz does he say has to be scattered? So he says, habachiti, when you throw wheat kernels into the water, so those aren't going to become disgusting in the water. So those might really wash up, people might find them. So that's why by wheat kernels, you can't throw a sack of wheat kernels into the water. Again, you'll have to scatter them so that there is no chashash that somebody will eat them. Okay, so that is the machlokes between Rabbi Yosef and Rabba, how to understand the scattering issue. What do we paskin? What do we paskin about the scattering? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon, Tav Mem Hey, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ve'im haya ha-chametz kasha ve'ein hayam. Well, first it starts off, Ketz sarforo uforo v'zore laruach ozor kalayam. Sounds like we're passing the kula. If you throw it into the river, you do not have to scatter it. But then he says, but if the chametz is hard and it doesn't get absorbed or mushed up quickly, you should be mefarid if the chametz is a hard piece and it could wash up and last as a hard piece. The Mishnah Berurah, though, here points out that this machlokas, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the machlokas we showed him about pirur. So he says it's a good idea to do pirur always, scattering it. But then he says, achein im mashlicho lebeis hakisei, if you throw it down the bathroom, harei hu kemevur min haolam legamrei. So that's totally taken out of the world. Kibin sheshum adam lo yuchal lehanos mimenu v'ein sarach lefaro kodem shemashlicho afilu hu bas kasha v'chayotze bo. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if you throw it in the, like it happens on, right, Erev Pesach Cholis B'Shabbos, if you throw the last crumbs down the toilet, so says the Mishnah Berurah, if you do that, if you're throwing it down the bathroom, then you don't have to be mefarer, because that's totally mevur min ha'olam. The Chazon Ish argues, the Chazon Ish thinks even if this is true, you should be mefarer it. But anyway, that's the Mishnah Berurah's shita, that if you're throwing it in the bathroom, throwing it down in the bathroom, you're flushing it, so then you don't have to be mefarer it, even though we're machmer and gentle to be mefarer it when you throw it into the river.
The Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem, he seems to be holding
Rashi. He seems to be holding, like, well, no, it could. The Makar Chaim, no, but according to the Makar Chaim, his lashon is it's still mevur min haolam. That language mevur min haolam when you flush it. So it could be that even according to Rav Yosef, who says you have to destroy it from existence, this could be destroyed from existence when it goes down into the sewers. If it's just an issue of no one can get to it, so then you're right. But his language was, the Mishnah Berurah's language was, harihu kemevur min haolam legamrei. See, he's making it more fundamental. You're right, misvar, you might have said it's an afkamina. But he's saying it works even according, it's not saying it beferish, but according to our framework, it's working even according to the Makar Chai. Okay, just one hara, we just discussed this last vlad, the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda the Chachamim. There's a well-known Reb Chaim, we're going to make it well-known now. Reb Chaim on Hilchas Pesach, Hilchas Chametz Umatzah. The Rambam paskins that in order to get Malkus for Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzeh, you have to buy Chametz on Pesach. Because if you just have chametz in your house and you don't sell it, then you violate Bar Rabbah Yimatzeh, but there's no malchus. Why? Because that is a lav she'ein b'maisa. As we mentioned a couple of days ago, in order to get malchus, has to be dumya d'lav t'chasima. It has to be similar to the lav of muzzling, because that's the source in the Torah. So just like the lav of muzzling is active, you're putting a muzzle on your animal, so too, anytime you want to get malchus, it has to be a lav she'yesh b'maisa. For Rambam says, you have to buy, if you buy chametz on Pesach, so you get malchus. Bar Rabbah Yimatzeh, if you just have it, you violate, but still you don't get malchus, because you require a maisa. The problem is that, that's what the Rambam says. The problem is that the Rishonim ask on the Rambam is that there's another rule called a lav hanitzak la'asei. A lav that can be fixed by an asei. Gezel. You don't get malchus for stealing because you can fix that aveira by returning it. You did the aveira, that's called a lav hanitzak la'asei. And the rule is lav hanitzak la'asei also doesn't get malchus. So the question on the Rambam is that Bal Yerba Yimatzeh, fine, you solve the problem of lav she'ish b'maisa, but it's still lav hanitzak la'asei, you do tashbisu. So why do you get malchus anyway? Even if you bought chametz at Pesach, there's a mitzvah of tashbisu. So why do you say it's a lav she'ish b'maisa? Therefore, you get malchus. That's a question on the Rambam that they ask. So and other questions as well. But says Reb Chaim, maybe there's a fundamental difference between Shitas Reb Yehuda and Shitas Chachamim, and that is according to Reb Yehuda, that you could call tashbisu a lav hanitzak la'asei. Why? Because according to Reb Yehuda, the focus is that the object of chametz must be burned. The destiny of all chametz in your possession is to be burned, and that's called the lav hanitzak la'asei. The focus is on the chefza, the object, it must be burned, and that you can call the lav hanitzak la'asei. And the Gemara that talks about this discussion of lav hanitzak la'asei of tashbisu, that's only according to Reb Yehuda. Says Reb Chaim, according to the Chachamim, it's not a lav hanitzak la'asei. Because the focus of tashbisu is on the gavra. You have to make sure that there's no chametz in your house. But not that you have a chiyuv to destroy all chametz. It's not an active search and destroy. By we do bedikas chametz, are we searching and destroying? Are we going to root him out of the caves? Right, search and destroy or no? Just to make sure that I'm okay. I'm open. I don't have any chametz on me. That's guva the machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim. And the nafkamina would be: is this a called the lav hanitzak la'asei? According to the Chachamim, no. It's not a key of a positive asei. Maybe it's an iser asei. I got to make sure that there's no chametz in my possession by the time chametz comes around. So that's a guva the machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim. And the Rambam passes like the Chachamim. The Rambam passes like the Chachamim, and that's why it's not a lav hanitzak la'asei. It's an asei. The asei is done by your not having chametz in your house. But that's not enough of an asay, that's not in the category of a kiyum asay, that it would be considered a lav hanitzak la'asei. That's how Reb Chaim understands the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And related to that, the Minchas Chinuch, without quoting Reb Chaim, because he was before Reb Chaim, the Minchas Chinuch just has the Chakira, with about five nafkaminas, how do you understand this mitzvah of tashbisu? That which Reb Chaim said is the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Minchas Chinuch in mitzvah test just has the nafkamina. Is tashbisu an active, you have to go out and search and destroy chametz, or is it just make sure you don't have chametz in your possession? And he has a bunch of nafkaminas. Number one, is it, right, do you have to go, like the Rambam's case, do you have to actively go and find chametz to destroy? If you say yeah, A, yes. If you say B, just passively make sure you don't have chametz. No. B, number two, what happens if somebody steals your chametz and destroys it? You're about to burn the chametz, and somebody else comes and takes your chametz and puts it in his own fire. Ha, I did it. Right? So the halacha is, we mentioned once before, that you have to pay yud zehuvim if you steal a mitzvah from somebody. So did he steal your mitzvah? See, if you say the mitzvah is to destroy the chametz, then he stole your mitzvah. He owes you yud zehuvim. But says the Minchas Chinuch, if it's just about getting rid of it, so you did the mitzvah anyway. He didn't steal the mitzvah from you, so it doesn't matter who does it, right? Who did the mitzvah? That's the question. There's another one that the Achronim discuss. That sometimes you pour lighter fluid on your chametz pile before you burn it. So the Rishtermach has a tshuva that you should make sure not to pour the lighter fluid directly on the chametz. Burn it up, to pour it on the wood. Because if you pour it on the chametz, then you've made the chametz eino ra'i l'achila. So you've already destroyed the chametz. You don't have any chametz to burn. It's eino ra'i l'achila. But you didn't burn it. You're supposed to burn your chametz. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to burn your chametz actively, then you messed up. You should be careful about that. But according to the Chachamim, it's just about not having chametz in your house. Or at least according to the Mechas Chinuch, the other side, so not having chametz, doesn't matter. So pour the lighter fluid on it. It's not a problem. Or he says, what about women? Are women chayav in tashbisu? So if it's a mitzvah zaseh to do, then there's room to discuss, maybe not. Women obviously are not allowed to have chametz, because the connection between chametz and matzah. But what about the mitzvah zaseh of tashbisu? So if you say it's a mitzvah to actively go and destroy chametz, then maybe not. Mitzvah zaseh shman grama. But if it's more focused on the iser, you can't have chametz in your house, so women are obligated in all those zasehs, even shman gramas. So there are others, but these are a number of nafkaminas which the Minchas Chinuch has, debating how you understand the mitzvah of tashbisu. Reb Chaim says that's kufa the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Okay, Masnisa. Now we get to the sugya of chametz before, during, and after Pesach. Chametz shall not be sha'aber alava Pesach, mutter bahana. Chametz that was owned by a non-Jew on Pesach, it's mutter bahana after Pesach. You can get pleasure from it. V'shal Yisrael aser bahana. But if a Jew owns chametz on Pesach, aser bahana, it's aser bahana, sh'ne'amar v'lo yira l'cha sa'ar. As it says, Bal Yirah. What do you mean, as it says? As the Gemara is going to discuss, because he violated Bal Yirah, therefore there's a knas that is Asur B'Hanah. As we'll see, there are different cheetahs. We pass on as Asur Midrabanan after Pesach, but as we'll see in the Gemara in a minute. There is, the Rambam already is bothered. In the Pirush Mishnah is here. Why does the Mishnah say Mutar B'Hanah by the owner, it's owned by a guy? It's even Mutar B'Achila. Right? He always says, see, which stores were owned by, are owned by Goyim? And if you go in right after Pesach and you buy a beer, you buy chametz. Right, so then why is it after Mutar B'Hanah? So the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi. So the Pasha says it's just be parallel to the Sefer. The Sefer is going to say Asur B'Hanah. So the Rashi says Mutar B'Hanah. So the Rambam says, but if you look in the Yerushalmi on this Mishnah, right, the Yerushalmi is parallel to the Bavli, just different. The Yerushalmi on this Mishnah says it's talking about a case where they were knowing not to eat pasakum. Right, so knowing not to eat pasakum, as we mentioned, there are different halachas about items made by non-Jews. Bishul Akum, that halacha is Chai V'Kayam. That halacha applies in full force, and you have to know the halachas. Yayin Stam, you gotta know the halachas. Bishul Akum, Yayin Stam. Cholav Akum, that also is in full force. I'm not mocking a Cholav Yisrael. What does that mean? I'm not mocking if somebody says that? No, it just means that you hold like Ramosha. Ramosha says that in America, everything's considered Cholav Yisrael. It's not like you don't hold of Cholav. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You can't not hold of it. But Ramosha says that with the standards of the FDA or whatever, the standards of the country, that's why it's all considered Chol of Yisrael. But Pas is the one area where already the Rishonim already say it's based on Minog. Pas Akum and Yisrael weren't Mekubalit, it's too much of a staple, that's why people could eat Entamins and Steladoros and items that were baked. Obviously there's no treif in it, and obviously, it's kosher, but it's Pas Akum. During Aser Yisrael Tshuvo, some are Makbet about Pas Yisrael. But Me'ikar Adin, Pas Akum is based on Minog. So already the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes in the Pirush Mishnah is that that's where the Mishnah is talking about a case where it's a place where they were Makbet on Pas Akum. And therefore it says Mutar B'Hanah, because they weren't going to eat it. And the Rambam even adds, just a historical note, where the Rambam says that he quotes as Yerushalmi, and then he says, V'zehu B'Makam She'osu Shabachilas Pas Nachrim, U'mizeh Atam Asa Bachilaso, V'lo Mishem Chameitz Kasher Amru. But it's a place that they were makbid. V'zeh yorah hadavar b'pashol nachrim shetali b'minog. V'haminog hu etzleinu b'iyei svarad la'achlo. So the Rambam made pasakim also, it seems. Anyways, interesting halachic discussion. Okay. So according to the Rambam, the Mishnah means mutzer b'hano, but not misar, it's not asur b'hano, it's not asur b'achila because of chametz. It's asur b'achila because of pasakim. But it's just telling you the added idea that is once you get out of the issue of Pasachim, but it's Mutar B'Hanah because there's no Isra of Chametz when it comes to a Chametz Sha'avar Alav Pesach when it was owned by a non-Jew. Mani Maslison Lora B'Yudav Lora B'Shur Lora B'Yasher Glili. Who is the Mishnah like? Which sheet in the Tanoim? We're going to get back to this question tomorrow. But first we're going to quote the Brisa and deal with the Brisa, and then the last line of Amud Beis gets back to this question. Who's the Mishnah like? But today we're going to talk about the Brisa. D'tanya, chametz, bein lefanano, bein leza achar zmano, over lab alav. This is the first sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Chametz, before the Zman, meaning on Erev Pesach, achar zman, after Pesach, if you eat it over olav balav. According to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, eating chametz on Erev Pesach is an Issa d'oraisa. Eating chametz on Erev Pesach. Eating chametz after Pesach is an Issa d'oraisa, according to Rabbi Shimon. Chametz that was owned by a Jew. Toch zmano, if it's on Pesach, over lab alav akaris. It's not just a lav, but it's even chayav karis if you eat it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the most machmir opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chametz lefnei mano, lachas mano, eno over alav below klum. Rabbi Shimon says, if it's chametz before this man and after this man, there is no Isser d'oraisa. The Rishonim here discuss, if we have time, we'll talk about it. Is that totally no Issa d'oraisa? Most Rishonim say that no, there is some type of Issa d'oraisa. Maybe based, but not an Issa d'oraisa by Yerba Yimatze, no Issa achila per se, but it's maybe it's an outgrowth of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. You know, you have to destroy the chametz, so Mamela, there's nothing that the Ramban's Lashon is, there's nothing that you have to destroy that you're allowed to eat. So there is, it is somewhat Asur D'oraisa, but it's not a hardcore Issa achila. And this is where there's a famous line of the Baal Amar, where the Baal Amar, he says in this Gemara, what are you talking about? He says, there's no greater hashpasa than eating it. So of course you can eat it. What do you mean? There's no mitzvah, there's never a mitzvah tashpisu when you can have a heter to eat it. What do you mean, says the Baal Amar? Ein locha hashpasa gedola mizu. There's no greater hashpasa than eating it. So that's why the Baal Amor reads this Gemara Kipshuto. It's mutter, according to Reb Shimon. Mutter to eat chametz on Erev Pesach. But anyway, that's Reb Shimon. Before and after, it's no lav. Toch zmano over olav b'karis v'lav. But during the time, on Pesach itself, you violate with lav and karis. Umishosha aser b'achila, aser b'ano, aser l'tanakama. The Baraisa has the next line, which is really going back to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The moment that it comes aser to eat, is aser to get hana from. That's the Tanakama. That's really Rabbi Yehuda's line, that from Erev Pesach is already aser. Third opinion, Rabbi Yosi Haglili Omer, Tamal Atzbacha, Hei Chametz Aser B'Hanah Kol Shiva. Rabbi Yosi Haglili had before, he even holds that it's Mutter B'Hanah on Pesach. It's just Aser B'Achila, and he uses the Psukim to learn different drashas. Those are the three shitas. Uminayin lo'ochal chametz v'sheishav v'lamal sh'over. Now we're going to darshan the Debraisa. Uminayin lo'ochal chametz v'sheishav v'lamal sh'over below saseh. How do I know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there's an iser d'oraisa to eat chametz on Erev Pesach after chatzos? She'ne'emar lo'sochal alav chametz div Rabbi Yehuda. Based on that pasuk, don't eat on it, on the carbon Pesach, chametz. On the carbon Pesach is done on Erev Pesach. Amar lo Reb Shimon, Chiyev Shalom Arkein. Reb Shimon says, how could you say that? V'alok v'amar, there's another pasuk. Lo'sochal alav chametz, shivas yamim tochal alav matzos. Reb Shimon says there's a comparison between chametz and matzah. And therefore what? Whenever you're chayv in matzah, that's when there's an issur to eat chametz. Imke matzah malam lo sochal alav chametz. So when? So what is it? What does it say? What does he do with the earlier pasuk? Don't eat on it. On the carpet of chametz. B'shash yeshna b'kol achol matzah yeshna b'tochal chametz. U'b'shash she'ina b'kol achol matzah ina b'tochal chametz. Says Reb Shimon, really the hekesh overrules, and therefore chametz and matzah are mirror images of each other. When you have the mitzvah of matzah, then the issur of chametz. When the issur of chametz, then there's a mitzvah of matzah. Oh, so the kasha is, what do you mean? There's only a mitzvah matzah the first night. But Erev Tochlu Matzos. There's no mitzvah matzah the other days. So that's the Vilna Gaon. The Gra in Maaseh Rav and Kuf Pei Hei. There's also the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni in Parshas Re'eh also says it. That even though there's no Chiv HaMitzvah matzah all 7 days, there is a Kiyum. There is a Rishus. There's a voluntary mitzvah. Every time you eat it, you get a Kiyum HaMitzvah. He says, Ve'eino Kori La Rishus Yamato Matzos, Kol Shiva Mitzvah, says the Gra. Or the Talmidim writing about the Gra. Ve'eino Kori La Rishus El Gabi Rishon Shechova. It's only called Rishus in relative terms to the first night, which is an obligation. Umitzvah lagabi chova rishus karile afal pikein mitzvah midaraisahi. And then they write vahayim machabiv maod mitzvah zachilas matzah kol shiva. He was very makman about it. Ubiyom tava achron haya ochel suda shlishes afal pish laya ochel shalosh shudas b'shar yantif mibnei chavivus mitzvah zachilas matzah shezimnu vaholichlo. We generally do not pass like the Rambam. The Rambam says you have to have shalosh shudas on yantif. We don't paskin that way. But it said they write here the Maaseh Rav, the Vilna Gaon, and this is a case where Chassidim and Misnagdim come together. On the last day of Pesach, they have the Suda Shal Mashiach, and everybody has Shalosh Shudas on the last day of Pesach to get in that extra meal of matzah. Why? That's what the Vilna Gaon did it. Not just the Chassidim that do it, the Vilna Gaon also did it. Why? Because he was Mechabe the Mitzvah Matzah. That's what the, because there's a Kiyam to eat matzah all day, even though there's no Chiyah. Maybe part of his Makar is his Gemara. But there's a Kiyam because there's a parallel between matzah and Chavetz. The last line he adds in, he wanted to show everybody that he was only doing it l'shei mitzvah. They say he was very makpid to go and buy a beer to make havdalah on right after Pesach. Why? To show that he was just eating the matzah l'shei the mitzvah. But he dafka went to get chametz right afterwards in order to show that the contrast. Okay, so says the Gemara, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda says that there is an isser d'oraisa on Erev Pesach to eat tlasa kroy ksivi? Really, there are three psukim. Lo yechal chametz, v'kol machmetzes lo sochelu, lo sochal lo chametz. Three psukim. Chal lefnai zmano, v'chal le'achar zmano, v'chal le'dov zmano. The three times, before, during, and after Pesach. Reb Shimon, what about Reb Shimon who says that there's only an issur d'oraisa during Pesach? Chal le'toch zmano, one he uses for toch zmano, fine. What about the other two? V'chol machmetzes mi'boilei, what does he use as that? Anything that rises, lo sochelu, l'kedetani uses that for the following halacha. Ein li'el shenis chametz me'elov machmetz avarach, me'elov. I only know that's something that became chametz from itself. It rose itself. Machmas davar acher minayin. How do I know that if something else caused it to become chametz? How do I know? So the pashas is that if you threw yeast in, that's davar acher. So Tosfos says it can't be because you always use yeast. Tosfos says it means that you use some type of dregs of wine, some other rising tool. So at minayin, how do you know? That's davar lomar. That's what Reb Shimon learns from the pasuk. Kol machmas lo sochelu. Any way that it has risen, you can't eat it. Lo yechol chametz. What about the third pasuk? What does Reb Shimon use it for? We buy the look at the Tani. He uses it for the following. Reb Yosi Yigli Omri Minayin LePesach Mitzrayim Sheinichu Mitznoig Elo Yom Echad. How do you know that in Mitzrayim Pesach chametz was only usher the first day? Only the first day of Pesach was usher to eat chametz. The rest of the week they ate chametz. Tamalomer Lo yechol chametz. The Samech Lay Hayom Atem Yotzim. He uses the third pasuk to teach me that halacha. The only were usher to chametz one day. Rabbi Yehuda. So how does Rabbi Yehuda know the two other halachas? Rabbi Yehuda machmas davar acher minale. How does he know that? Midafker achmana b'asha machmetzes. That language of machmetzes, he learns it from there. Gufa. You can learn kamavetz lo socheli. You can learn the iser of eating it erev Pesach, and you can also learn from midavar acher. Rabbi Yosi aglili minale. How does he know the halacha of Rabbi Yosi aglili that they only chabitz is only usher one day? Then iba yisema midesamach lehayom. Either from the connection, he also believes in the smichus. The pasuk itself teaches me that you can't eat chametz after Pesach. The smichus apsukim teaches me that it's only one day. Or he doesn't darshan smuchin. He only darshan smuchin in Mishneh Torah, in Dvarim, right? But not in the rest of the Torah. He argues. He doesn't hold. He says that they did not eat chametz all week. We had a Maritz Chayes and Brachas. Maybe I'll say it tomorrow because we don't have time now. Maritz Chayes and Brachas explained why everybody agrees that you darshan smuchin in Dvarim. Even though there's a machlokes about the first four books of the Torah, everybody agrees you darshan smuchin in Dvarim. Okay, but tomorrow we'll mention that Maritz Chayes. Omar Mar. So we mentioned earlier that Rabbi Yehuda holds as an Issa Daraisa to eat chametz at Erev Pesach. Shnemar lo sochel alav chametz. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon had answered him back. V'chiyav shalom markein. V'halok farnemar lo sochel alav chametz. Shivas yamon tochel alav matzos. Right? Didn't Rabbi Shimon said no? The chametz and matzah are parallel. Rabbi Yehuda, shaber kamal Rabbi Shimon. Did Rabbi Shimon have a good claim to him that chametz and matzah are parallel? So Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said no. Hahu lekova chova afilu bazman hazehu daasa. That pasuk is coming to teach me a different halacha. It's to tell me that it's a chiyuv to eat matzah bazman hazeh, even though we don't have a carbon pesach. And you might have thought that matzah and maror go with the carbon pesach. No, that pasuk that you used for the hekish, I used to teach me that you have to eat matzah bizman hazeh, and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat matzah bizman hazeh, even though there is no carbon pesach. Reb Shimon l'kova l'chova minale. How does Reb Shimon know to this that idea that matzah is chova? It's amazing havamina that all the mitzvahs would be connected, and you wouldn't have to do those mitzvahs without the current pesach. So how does Reb Shimon know that? Nafkalimi ba'erev tochlu. He knows it from the other pasuk. Ba'erev tochlu matzos. Reb Yehuda, what does he use that other pasuk for? Mibaylo l'tamei v'shayev derech rechoka. He uses it for these two people, somebody who is tame or far away, who don't do Pesach Rishon, so he uses it to teach me about them. I would have thought about those people. I would have thought that fine regarding everybody else, so theoretically the Shaykh to current Pesach is Manazes, they'll also do Matzah and Maror. But tame and Derech Rechoka, they're going to wait a month. So maybe I would have thought that they don't have to eat Matzah and Maror now, because they have their Pesach in a month from now. Nami lo nechos, they shouldn't eat it. Kamash Malan, that's Be'er Tokhlo Matzos, even they have to eat Matzah. Reb Shimon, how does he know that? Tamei Shem Derech Rechoka, lo tzekra. You don't need psukim to teach me that a Tamei and Derech Rechoka need to eat Matzah. Why? To lo gar me arel u ben nechar. They're nervous that an arel, somebody doesn't have a bris milah, and a ben nechar, a mumar for certain mitzvahs that wants to eat the Karim Pesach. So they too, the chsib kalara lo yochabo, these people cannot eat the Karim Pesach, but we darshan out bo in onechel, ochel, ava ochel matzah marer. So we darshan out, just like these people don't eat the Pesach, but they have a chiv in matzah marer. So too, Tamei and Derech Rechoka, you learn from there. Rabbi Yehuda, Ksivai. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, okay, you're allowed to have two psukim. Even though you might have learned it from the other one, you can have one by Arel and one by Tamei and Derech Rechoka. The Maram Chalavi here explains maybe why there's a Tzrichasa by both of them, but the Rashi says, no, okay, it's two psukim to teach me. Don't jump on me, says Rabbi Yehuda. There's one machlokes that we'll mention the Maris Chayes tomorrow. What's an Arel here? What is an Arel here? So Rashi says, Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. Somebody has a hemophilia in the family, so then he doesn't get a bris milah. He doesn't get a bris milah, so he's sort of an arel. So I'm very sorry, it's an ones, but still he can't eat the Karim Pesach. What can you do? There's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam quoted in the Rishonim in Yevamos Daf Ayin. Rabbeinu Tam holds unbelievably an arel is only who somebody who willingly does not get a bris milah. Somebody who only has one brother that died from it, somebody who's just scared, but somebody who has a history and already halachically is not allowed to get a bris milah. That's an ones that he's not called an arel, says Rabbeinu Tam. And he's allowed to eat the Karim Pesach. And if he's a kohen, he's allowed to eat truma. That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, that an arel is somebody only has the choice. But if somebody who halachically is not allowed to get a bris milah, that's called an ones, and he's not called an arel, and he can eat the Karim Pesach. And other Rishonim argue on him, but that is the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. So whenever you see arel by Karim Pesach, by truma, you always have the machlokas Rabbeinu Tam against Shar Rishonim. Okay, we'll stop here by Mani, and B'Shem will continue tomorrow. Zeichat Teshuv, Zeichat Nishmas, Yitzchak Ben Peres. Yitzchak Ben Peres. Right.
So then, I think we go anywhere in the store and buy anywhere because you never know.
It's a soft, I mean, that's an Issa D'Rabbanan.